Porphyria's Lover by Robert Browning. The rain set in early tonight. The sullen wind was soon awake. It tore the elm tops down for spite, and did its worst to vex the lake. I listened with heart fit to break, when glided in Porphyria. Straight she shut the cold out and the storm, and kneeled and made the cheerless grate blaze up and the cottage warm. Which done, she rose, and from her form withdrew the dripping cloak and shawl, and laid her soiled gloves by, untied her hat, and let her damp hair fall. And, last, she sat down by my side and called me. When no voice replied, she put her hand about her waist and made her smooth white shoulder bare, and all her yellow hair displaced, and, stooping, made my cheek lie there, and spread o'er all her yellow hair, murmuring how she loved me. She too weak for all her heart's endeavor to set its struggling passion free from pride and vainer ties dissever, and give herself to me forever. But passion sometimes would prevail, nor could tonight's gay feast restrain a sudden thought of one so pale, for love of her. And all in vain. So she was come through wind and rain. Be sure I looked up at her eyes, happy and proud. At last I knew Porphyria worshipped me. Surprise made my heart swell, and still it grew while I debated what to do. That moment she was mine, mine, fair, perfectly pure and good. I found a thing to do, and all her hair in one long yellow string I wound three times round her little throat and strangled her. She felt no pain, I am quite sure she felt no pain, as a shut bud that holds a bee, I warily oped her eyes again, laughed the blue eyes without a stain, and I untightened next the tress about her neck, her cheek once more blushed bright beneath my burning kiss. I propped her head up as before. Only, this time my shoulder bore her head, which droops upon it still. The smiling, rosy little head, so glad it has its utmost will, that all it scorned at once is fled, and I, its love, am gained instead. Porphyria's love, she guessed not how her darling one wish would be heard. And thus we sit together now, and all night long we have not stirred, and yet God has said not a word. That's Porphyria's Lover by Robert Browning, a compulsory poem in the anthology for AQA, English Literature. So Robert Browning was a 19th century British poet who spent much of his adult life in Italy, and his wife was a poetess, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the only husband and wife pair of poets I've heard of. So Porphyria, a figure from classical mythology. Now this is in the love section of the anthology, and it's shocking and disturbing. A love story that ends in murder. Okay, so it begins, The rain set in early tonight. Okay, you expect it to be raining, but rains earlier than usual. It must be a rainy time of year if you expect it to rain. So the sullen wind was soon awake. All right. So it gets windy as well. It tore the elm tops down for spite. So it's a very strong wind, and there's personification as though the wind has emotions. Can be malicious in choosing to knock down the winds. Elms with their sinister association. As in use for hanging people. Perhaps subconsciously he chose that of all the trees, bearing in mind what happens to poor Porphyria later on. And did its worst to vex the lake. Notice the meter there. So as though it's disturbing the lake, obviously blowing little wavelets across it. I listened with a heart fit to break. So he's very sad, he's almost heartbroken. When glided in Porphyria. So she comes in, presumably walking very gracefully. Straight she shut the cold out and the storm. Okay, so she shut the door, but so much more than that. And kneeled and made the cheerless grate blaze up. The grate being that like metal cage really to put logs and coal in the fireplace. Remember, this is the 19th century, before we could control electricity, no radiators. You had to burn a fire in the house to keep you warm. So she's lighting the fire, and all the cottage which was done, she rose. So, and perhaps suggests that she brings warmth, as in positive emotions, romance, kindness. Those are all the connotations of warmth, but also passion, danger. Fire is destructive. Which done, she rose. Okay, once she did that, then she stood up, and from her form withdrew the dripping cloak and shawl. So takes these outer clothes off her body, form to mean body. Perhaps there's a bat squeak of eroticism here because, of course, the clothes can be semi-translucent when wet and body hugging, and laid her soiled gloves by, untied her hat and let her damp hair fall. So soiled as in dirty, takes the dirty gloves off, loosens her hair, and at last she sat down by my side and called me. So sits beside him, says, and starts to speak to him. When no voice replied, why doesn't he answer? Is he so awestruck? She put my arm around her waist. Well, that's a very forward, even lascivious gesture, and made her smooth white shoulder bare, so showing her bare flesh. Now, by 19th century standards, that was very daring. So it's a come on, and her yellow hair displaced. Okay, women often had their hair sort of fairly covered up or worn high, so she's really being perhaps seductive, murmuring how she loved me. Presumably it's not the first time we met. And then we go on. So anyway, and he ends up strangling her. And then so it's this horrid pastiche of a love poem at the end, with her lifeless head lolling on his shoulder, because of course, she is a limp, and that's it. And she hasn't said a word because of course she's dead, but she's just freshly dead and still shining with beauty. So rather disturbing. Think of the imagery. It's a ballad. It tells a story. Think of the scansion and the rhyme scheme and how it's disturbed in places.